This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. You're the founder of your company, also CEO, marketing director, project manager, social media strategist, and customer liaison. Oh, I forgot. On top of that, you're also the office manager and janitor. I'm describing, if you haven't guessed already, the average freelancer. People with full-time jobs think you don't really work, so you're always available to pick up their kids from school. Meanwhile, you haven't had a vacation in years, and you feel as if you are always on the job. To manage this challenge of managing yourself as an employee, you need more than a guide. You need a Bible. And that's exactly what my guest, Sarah Horowitz, has written. She is the founder of the advocacy group, the Freelancers Union, and author of the Freelancers Bible. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm a freelancer myself, and one of the biggest challenges I find is that, unlike a full-time job, you are all on your own all of the time. So what are your recommendations on how best to get and stay connected?
The most successful freelancers are the ones who build a network, and it really is about thinking about all your relationships. You are a 360-degree person, so from friends and family, from old colleagues, people that you meet at professional associations, just start to realize that this is your whole network for your whole self.
Even if you do that and keep in touch with that vast network, cash flow is such a problem, though. You have that feast or famine nature of freelancing. So what can freelancers do to even out the roller coaster ride?
What people do is they have worked out interesting and complicated relationships with other freelancers. So when you've taken on a lot of work, you can outsource to someone else. And when you don't have any work coming in, you can go back to those friends who you've outsourced to in the past. And let me just say, I think part of this also is that freelancers really are the new workforce, but a lot of the social legislation and other things just doesn't apply, like unemployment insurance.
Well, traditionally, people have thought of freelancing as a stepping stone to a full-time job, and that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. What do you tell your freelancers about that expectation and how to manage it?
Well, you know, I think so many people, after they've been laid off, after working traditionally, very much want to get a full-time job with benefits again. And what's really clear is that the amount of time between those jobs is just getting longer, if it will ever return. And I think that what people do is to start really having a bunch of different strategies, from having that long-term gig in place, from having that network, starting to build that up, and to just understand about being scrappy and realizing, you know what, you might need to go to Odesk or Elance or someplace and get a gig that's short-term that's just going to help you pay the rent. But I think that that's also where freelancers are just the most efficient economic units, because they have to say, do I need to consume all these things? And that really does go right to the heart of anxiety, because that's where you get panicked. Will I be able to afford all those things I just bought?
What about dealing with the anxiety of the lifestyle of a freelancer?
One of the things that people who've been freelancing a while really learn is that it's not when you'll be unemployed, it's how much during the year, that there's just going to be this ebb and flow. And so you just don't get as panicked about it. And you start to build up all these what ifs, what if, what ifs. And that's when you start to outsource. And you need to be able to start segueing into all these different fields, but it requires planning. Again, that doesn't help you with the anxiety right away, but it gives you a plan about what you're going to do and how you're going to expand.
Well, when you get a bunch of freelancers together, one of the first topics they get into is, it's so hard to get paid on time or get paid at all. So how should freelancers set up their billing to ensure that they're getting paid what they're worth and also getting paid promptly?
Number one is that people really need to have a contract. They can go to freelancersunion.org, and membership is free, and you can go to our contract creator and create that kind of contract. But really, again, this is another point where this is happening to the majority of workers will at some point be having a freelance experience. But again, we don't have a place for freelancers to go, like the Department of Labor, if you haven't been paid.
Well, for anyone who's listening who has a full-time job but is dreaming of starting a freelance career, what advice do you have about getting started?
Well, I think the first thing that you want to do is recognize that there are a bunch of different ways that you can start to freelance. You can look for a steady gig, and that could be a part-time job or just one big, reliable freelance job.
Well, before I let you go, I do want to ask, what is one thing that freelancers so often get wrong?
There's a thing called freelance pride, and they are major engines in the American economy. And what they do is so valuable and important. And I think that so many freelancers many years ago, when they told their families what they did, they were considered slacker dudes or unemployed. And now they can hold their head up high and say, you know, this is what I do, and this is how I earn a living. And no, I can't pick up your dry cleaning.
Sarah Horowitz is the founder of the advocacy group, the Freelancers Union, and author of the Freelancers Bible. Sarah, thank you for this.
Thank you.
We have more information for freelancers, including some really helpful tips for setting your pay rate and finding work, at our website, marketplace.org.